Thank you. As a young boy, Seth Rotherham accidentally fell into a cauldron of rose-tinted lenses. From that moment on, his life was nothing short of stunning. That's when he coined the phrase, "Life is stunning through rose-tinted glasses." At that moment, he knew he had to get the message out. Ladies and gentlemen, coming to you live from Cape Town's Atlantic seaboard, land of sex, money, fast cars, champagne, and suntans, the Two Oceans Vibe Show with your host, Seth Rotherham. Yeah, touch yourself.
And it's the Two Oceans Vibe Show coming to you live again on a Thursday from the Atlantic Seaboard. Welcome to the show, everybody. It's a beautiful day over here. I just loaded up the weather. We're looking at 32 degrees, and it certainly is. Welcome to the show, Nick Goldblatt.
Thank you, Seth. What an absolute pleasure to be here.
How does it feel inside?
You could feel the excitement reverberating through me. It's obviously, we've had a few goes at this and finally got into the studio, so hugely excited to be part of it.
Well, it's great to have you here. Quite a unique guest we have in the show today, Nick Goldblatt. Obviously, you're one of the Two Oceans Vibe characters, following a long list of characters, including the character formerly known as the Loose Forward, the Outside Center, the Fabric Sky, the Dude, the Surfer, and the UK Showbiz Guy, a.k.a. Johnny Vaughan, who was last week. It's a great day today. Nick and myself have just gone to Winchester Mountains for a little lunch. Can you tell us about your meal there, Nick?
Stunning choice. Both went with the salmon. Few cougars running around, which is obviously very common for the Winchester Mansions. In fact, known for its prevalence of cougars. And once again, we weren't disappointed.
You mentioned cougar earlier. Can you describe cougar and why it's called a cougar and what it is?
I think it was Dale Veron, the Saint of Verona, who first introduced me to the concept of the cougar. It was on one of his trips to Toronto, if I'm not mistaken. Commonly in the sort of 35 to 55 age group.
Packing, usually.
Often packing, but not uncommon to see them going solo, Seth.
Why exactly are they called cougars? By the way, Nick is referring to the older women who are generally packing a good set. Why do they refer to them as cougars?
Just bear with me for a second.
Oh, very nice. It would be rude not to tell you what we're drinking at the moment. We're drinking a little six-pack or two or three of Peroni Nostro Zero, Nick Goldblatt's choice. You were saying the cougar. Seth, how did that name come out?
Yeah, they are predators by nature.
Sure.
Do you run around in packs?
Single chicks, older.
Single, prey on innocent young victims.
Not too expensive to run. Generally fallen by the wayside, as it were.
Generally past their best. Should we say?
Yeah, but useful for a youngster.
Useful, certainly not to be scoffed at.
Certainly not. Well, welcome to the show, Nick, and it's great to have you here. We're just going to feed in this little beauty that I've been enjoying. I was at a wedding in Flet, and this was the key song at the time. Everyone enjoyed it. I know it's been going around for a while. I've been slow on the uptake. Thoroughly enjoyed it. Nick, are you a fan of the song?
Huge fan. The Chiefs, if I'm not mistaken.
The guys are Chiefs, from football to music. The guys have done well. Welcome to the show. We'll catch you after this.
Let it never be said, the romance is dead, 'cause there's so little else occupying my head. There is nothing I need except the function to breathe.
Yeah.
As a young boy, Seth Rotherham accidentally fell into a cauldron of rose-tinted lenses. From that moment on, his life was nothing short of stunning. That's when he coined the phrase, "Life is stunning through rose-tinted glasses." At that moment, he knew he had to get the message out. Ladies and gentlemen, coming to you live from Cape Town's Atlantic seaboard, land of sex, money, fast cars, champagne, and suntans, the Two Oceans Vibe Show with your host, Seth Rotherham. Yeah, touch yourself.
And welcome back to the show, 3:42 Cape Town, 30 degrees centigrade on the Atlantic seaboard here. Myself and Nick Goldblatt, our guest for today. Welcome back, Nick.
Thank you. Thank you, Seth.
We've just been spending time at the Winchester Mansions, obviously on the house, and so in a second we're just going to, Chris Sims is trying to involve himself. Welcome, Chris. Good. Chris Sims is currently not online. Weird.
Summer. Get it together, Summer.
Chris Sims, what you need to do is add us as a user, as a friend, or whatever. We'll add you, and then we'll take some live calls later on. While we were on the Atlantic seaboard at the Winchester Mansions in the 30-degree heat, eating our salmon at about half past one today, we had a look at that ship earlier on. Nick, you had some thoughts on that ship, which we discussed on the website. What do you say that's called, that ship?
The LPG, is it?
The LPG.
The LPG.
LPG. I can't remember exactly what it stands for. I'm just going to go back to that. LPG vessel, which stands for liquefied petroleum gas stored at minus 110 centigrade. What do you think of the ship? What is the first thing that came to mind when you saw those four breasts?
Well, they certainly are very striking, those breasts. But what really struck me, Seth, is that it seems to be very close to shore for something that's stored at minus 110. And couldn't help but notice that there were a few pleasure crafts.
A little bit too close. All too close.
A little too close. A little too close. All too close for comfort, some would say.
I got an email from one of our readers, Brett Auburn, who actually went into detail as to why it is quite a drama. Would you like me to expand on that?
Well, I think what we need to do is give the Greater Two Oceans Vibe community some insights into that.
As to why we shouldn't be happy with that kind of thing. It's amazing how they can just park that there without running it by the boys. Do you not find that a little bit...
Well, quite frankly, Seth, I mean, I live on the seaboard, as you know, and...
I'm not too happy with it.
Lord knows the fallout of some sort of an explosion.
I enjoyed Brett Auburn wrote in, and although the email turned into a 5 or 6 paragraph number, he starts off with saying, just a side note.
Quite side note.
Yeah, just from Brett. He says, I was quite surprised to see an LPG tanker so close to Cape Town. Did it actually come into CT Harbour? LPG tankers are seen as the most... Enjoy this. It's actually amazing. He goes, LPG tankers are seen as the next big terrorist vehicle for a soft target attack. Thank God we've got Zuma in charge, so no one, I mean, there's nothing, there's no one that doesn't like us. They have pretty detailed security precaution, but there is some concern that RPGs, was referring to LPG, but he's talking about RPG, rocket-propelled grenades. RPGs, amongst other things, he goes on to say, could rupture the tanks and that, in the worst-case scenario, a blast in the 1/10 of a kiloton range could ensue. Gas in these red tanks is refrigerated at about 100... at about minus 110 degrees to keep it liquefied. If the tanks are ruptured, masses of liquefied gas would instantaneously revert to its gaseous form, which, if you also studied and passed high grade science in matric, would cause a massive gas cloud. If there was then a secondary spark from somewhere, this would explode in the same way as a massive fuel air bomb, working in exactly the same way as a daisy cutter or MAOB. Characteristics of this blast are a truly massive concussion or blast wave and nasty areas of induced vacuum where the bomb sucks up all the oxygen in the surrounds to feed the fireball. Fair enough. They exploded. Blah, blah, blah. Basically, I'm just not happy with that fucking vessel right there.
Basically, we've got a sitting bomb in the bay.
Yeah, right there.
So hold on. As the folks come over, over the M3, past Woodstock and get a sighting of the LPG. What they what they don't realize is that they're not looking at four breaths. They're looking at four time bombs. Is that right?
I think more to the point, four mushroom clouds. Not ideal.
That sounds nasty. But let's just take a step back. We are in Cape Town. I mean, RPGs aren't common.
Sure.
But a fishing vessel with a few vigilantes and a couple of sawn-off shotguns, are we okay there, would you say?
Well, I think it's more about do we sort of lend ourselves to terrorist threat? I don't think so.
Surely not. Eh? Jay-Z in charge?
No, you're wrong with that. Do you like the way I've just fed in "oh yeah" in the background?
Well, let's leave it at that for now, and we'll get back to our terrorist threat. And I think we've got a few words on Jay-Z and his wedding over the weekend, which we need to discuss.
Should we use some keywords for the next section of the show? Keyword Jay-Z.
Let's bank that.
Can also keyword Carla Brunei, who's marrying Nicolas Sarkozy, the president of France.
I can see a sliding scale there, Seth, and folks, bank that, and we're going to discuss it straight after this.
It's funny that you mentioned France, actually, given that my parents just bought a house in Provence, ladies. I'm just going to renovate. That comes with a big pool. It's green at the moment. Lots of work to be done. Lots of fun, I think.
Renovator's dream, some would say.
Yeah, look, there aren't many girls out there that realize what kind of a package I pack.
Speaking of RPGs,
yeah.
Seth packs an RPG of his own.
Yeah, a lot of perks. I think for this next one, what we're doing is we're working with a list of songs that came from Nick Goldblatt, and they range from all sorts to all sorts. I think we're just going to go into Nickelback Rockstar, which starts immediately. I don't have to feed into any kind of vocals or anything. It starts immediately, right like this. It's 3:48. It's a beautiful day in Cape Town. We'll catch you after this one.
The world is a vampire.
Nice.
Wrong song. Incorrect.
I'm through with standing in line. The clubs I'll never get in. It's like the bottom of the ninth, and I'm never gonna win this. Life hasn't turned out quite the way I want it to be.
Tell me what you want.
I want a brand new house on an episode of Cribs, and a bathroom I can play baseball in, and a king size tub big enough for 10 plus me.
For what you need.
I need a credit card that's got no limit, and a big black chain with a bedroom in it. Gonna join the Mile High Club at 37,000 feet.
Been done that.
I want a new tour bus full of old guitars. My star on Hollywood Boulevard. Somewhere between Cher and James Dean is fine for me.
So how you gonna do it?
I'm gonna trade this life for fortune and fame. I'd even cut my hair and change my name. Cause we all just wanna be big rock stars and live in hilltop houses driving 15 cars. The girls come easy and the drugs come cheap. We'll all stay skinny cause we just won't eat. And we'll hang out in the coolest bars and the VIP with the movie stars. Every good gold digger's gonna wind up. With a bleach blonde hair and we're, hey, hey, I wanna be a rock star. Hey, hey, I wanna be a rock star. I wanna be great like Elvis without the tassels. Hire 8 bodyguards that love to beat up assholes. Sign a couple autographs so I can eat my meals for free.
I have a quesadilla.
I'm gonna dress my ass with the latest fashion. Get a front door key to the Playboy Mansion. Gonna date a centerfold that loves to blow my money for me.
So how you gonna do it?
I'm gonna trade this life for fortune and fame. I'd even cut my hair and change my name. Cause we all just wanna be big rock stars and live in hilltop houses driving 15 cars. The girls come easy and the drugs come cheap. We'll all stay skinny cause we just won't eat. And we'll hang out in the coolest bars and the VIP with the movie stars. Every good gold digger's gonna wind up there. Every playboy bunny with the bleach blonde hair. And we'll part out in the private rooms with the latest dictionary of today's zoo. They'll get you anything with that evil smile. Everybody's got a drug.
Hey, hey, I wanna be a rock star.
As a young boy, Seth Rotherham accidentally fell into a cauldron of rose-tinted lenses. From that moment on, his life was nothing short of stunning. That's when he coined the phrase, "Life is stunning through rose-tinted glasses." At that moment, he knew he had to get the message out. Ladies and gentlemen, coming to you live from Cape Town's Atlantic seaboard, land of sex, money, fast cars, champagne, and suntans, the Two Oceans Vibe Show with your host, Seth Rotherham. Yeah, touch yourself.
And welcome back. That was Nickelback with Rockstar. Someone had an argument with me the other day that it wasn't Nickelback. They chose someone else who they obviously saw on the screen at the time during the music video, and they said it's his song. Something like, it's Kid Rock song. Who else was in the song?
No. I've seen the video, and it's pretty good. They've got a few... Quite a few boys in there.
We're back in the studio. It's the Two Oceans Vibe Show, live from Cape Town's Atlantic Seaboard, the Mother City. It's 3:54, 30 degrees. I got my shirt off. Nick's is bound to come off. He's got a long sleeve... Flags shirt, playing itself off as a Gantz shirt. It comes across well. Do you think the shirt's going to come off, Nick, or do you think you're fine?
Look, it's certainly heating up in here, so it's only a matter of time, I would guess.
It's not the temperature. We're obviously air-conditioned here. It's just the heat in the studio, just the passion, really. That's about it. Before the song by Nickelback called Rockstar, which is hot, and before that, by the way, was Ruby by the Kaiser Chiefs, who have diversified from football. Before those songs, we were talking about Zuma. Talking about sliding scales, Nick, on a sliding scale for you right now. By the way, before we get into that, I just want to mention a few things. Text messages to the show, questions, whatever else you want to do. You can send text messages to the following number. Grab a pen. Have you got it? No? It doesn't work. Get the other one? You got it. Write this down. SMS your questions or any thoughts, whatever. Pertaining to anything you want, send it to +27 76 907. It's just incredible how the page is reloading at that exact time. You're going to scroll down again, which probably allowed you enough time to get another pen. It's +27 76 907 3679. Send your questions or thoughts or anything you want to that number during the show. And Skype phone calls, we are doing live Skype phone calls later. We've already got a few people involved over here. When you're on Skype, search for the name The Two Oceans Vibe Show. You'll find us, get on board, add us as a user. We'll add to you. I just burped very slightly under my breath.
Peroni will do that to you.
Yeah. We were chatting about, under my breath...
We had banked Jay-Z as a keyword.
Yeah.
Now, let's just take it a step back, Seth.
Let's just back it up a little bit.
Let's just back it right up. Just to get everyone onto the same page on the whole sliding scale vibe. Very useful social tool. Just to put everyone in the picture, sliding scale, and probably best explained by way of an example, the sliding scale...
Let's have an example.
Let's just throw one out there. The sliding scale, the Mavis... Franchois Schnitzler sliding scale of net asset value, you know what I mean?
Sure.
So we're talking about extremes here. So I think what we're going to talk about is the Jacob Zuma, Nicolas Sarkozy sliding scale.
Yeah, as you all know,
weddings.
As you may have caught in the, was it the Sunday Times, Nick?
The Times, yeah. I think the Times covered
it. The Times, they had photos from Jacob Zuma's wedding to a not... certainly not a size zero model on the weekend or the one before. A monster of a woman, Jacob Zuma married, and at the same
God bless her cotton socks.
God bless them and her extra padding. Comes around the same time as the soon to be marriage wedding.
Soon to be Mrs. Sarkozy.
Between Nicolas Sarkozy. It's right here. Sarkozy, the president, or is it Prime Minister?
President
of France.
President of France, Sarkozy.
Nicolas Sarkozy.
President Sarkozy.
Is about to marry Carla Brunei. I ran it past Denise Dogan, the number one realtor, the doyen of the real estate on the Atlantic seaboard. I ran a pass that Denise Dogan always has her finger on the pulse with regards to the who's who, because that's who she deals with. She deals with the likes of Nicolas Sarkozy. I phoned her and I said, I'm a little bit tired of the whole people moaning about Zuma and worrying about the end of the world, etc., etc. Let's talk about real things, like the fact that Nicolas Sarkozy's about to marry former supermodel Carla Bruni. And she said to me that Carla Bruni is finished, and Mick Jagger, in fact, tossed her aside. Be that as it may, what we're talking about is a former supermodel versus Zuma's latest trick. Who won, I mean, not to be rude or anything, but to compare it to anything, a heifer cow would come to mind. On a sliding scale, Nick, just to explain to the listeners, on a sliding scale, how do you ask the question?
On a sliding scale of soon-to-be presidential wives, who do you see yourself wanting to run at first? I mean, we were talking about the LPG earlier, and certainly there are some examples of breasts out there. Who would we most liken those two? Yeah. The soon-to-be Mrs. Zuma or the soon-to-be Mrs. Sarkozy?
On a sliding scale, you're talking about a heifer.
Just hold on a sec there, sir.
Oh, thank you very much. On a sliding scale, I mean, how you weigh it up is basically, like, you know, for the weight proportions. Like, you know, what a large woman Zuma took as his fifth or sixth wife. Sure, you have the size involved, but, and Carla Bruni is an ex-supermodel, but you need to weigh it up. You know, do you want someone who Mick Jagger has boned considerably and tossed aside? Mick Jagger's boned her heavily. Do you want that, or would you rather take Zuma's wife, who Mick Jagger hasn't boned,
yep,
who might not be enough as attractive as Carla?
Fair enough, but with respect to Denise, I don't know what sort of due diligence she's done on the soon-to-be Mrs. Zuma. Yes, it may not be Mick Jagger, but Lord alone knows who's been there before him. What sort of scraps is our boy Zuma following into?
Exactly. And on that note, before we start the next song, which has got a fairly substantial intro, which we'll start to feed into right now, we have a text message that just came in while we just warm this up in the background. It's NXS Live, baby, live. And it's new sensation, which will just feed into the background. It's absolutely fine. We have a question here before we go over to Nick. Says, who would Nick Goldblatt want around a table for a couple of laughs? Would love to know who is funnier than the big man himself. Interesting. Nick.
Stunning. Let's consider that, and we'll come back to you straight after.
So, no, we've got loads of time here, Nick. I'll just have you know that because of the research that I've done before this show, which is the first time, we've got a good 1 minute 14 here. We've been through 34 seconds, so you're looking at a good 45 seconds of banter. Do you want to answer the question, or do you want to hold it out a little bit? Maybe hold it out a little bit.
Look, let's hold it out for a bit, but obviously, Seth, you pick yourself.
Certainly I do.
On current form, and you know, what sort of table are we looking at, Joe? We're looking at a table of 10 to 12. We're looking at intimate table of 4. You know, we really have to expand this.
We'll get to that after the break. It's 4 o'clock on the dot, Cape Town, Atlantic Seaboard. Welcome to the 2 Hours of Vibe Show. We'll catch you after the song. And here's a quote from Carla Bruni. I don't know what all the fuss is about. There were 7,000 girls. We'll be right back.
As a young boy, Seth Rotherham accidentally fell into a cauldron of rose-tinted lenses. From that moment on, his life was nothing short of stunning. That's when he coined the phrase, "Life is stunning through rose-tinted glasses." At that moment, he knew he had to get the message out. Ladies and gentlemen, coming to you live from Cape Town's Atlantic seaboard, land of sex, money, fast cars, champagne, and suntans, the Two Oceans Vibe Show with your host, Seth Rotherham. Yeah, touch yourself.
Beautiful. That was In Excess Live with New Sensation. We're back in the studio. It's 4:05. It's 30 degrees still on the Atlantic seaboard. Back in the studio with Nick Goldblatt. Welcome back, Nick.
Thank you, Seth.
As you all know, all of our guests on the show are more than likely usually Two Oceans Vibe characters. And it's weird that things just seem to happen for them. And one of them, the only one who has his full name as his name, most of them are called the Roofer or the Surfer or the Dude or the Outside Center. Well, the character formerly known as the loose forward for Mr. Skinstat. They've all got names. Nick Goldblatt is the only one who has his full name. Nick, what is your experience with regards to this list and the fact that you have you are the only person with a full name? Have you had much feedback from that?
It's surprising. Well, I really do get a hell of a lot of feedback from that, and it's always nice to be unique, as you know.
Fair enough.
So I get hits on that all the time, in fact.
What kind of things do the guys
ask you? Some sort of genius that Seth has come up with. How come you're the only guy with your full name?
How do you usually respond to that?
I quietly withdraw into myself in a quiet corner of the bar, buy them a double cane and coke, and just explain the whole
vibe
to them. They either get it or they don't, really.
Speaking of the vibe, over lunch, we're talking about the vibe and the fact that my hair is hair word, or is it rather hair? My hairstylist, Marco, is not on the Two Oceans Vibe list, and Nick Goldblatt also gets his locks chopped at Marco. How was your first experience with Marco the other day?
Look, I must say at this point that Seth is my go-to guy in Cape Town. If you want anything done, give Seth a call. I had a...
Jason.
Too wildly here. Had a rather unfortunate incident a couple years ago with a small vomit in my car, not my own, I might add.
Yes, I remember that.
You recall that, sir?
I do.
It may have been a Saturday morning when I gave you a desperate shout out.
Bird, Cara Lloyd, who helped you create that mess.
My long-time girlfriend, the love of my life, Cara Lloyd, had a run-in with a few...
Had a nasty spill.
Jägermeisters, a three cheese pasta, and some manner of vodka, if I remember correctly.
And I put you onto Ryan's car wash, right?
Ryan's car wash.
Sorted it right out.
Bang.
Is that the same car that you have today? No.
Bang. No, we've upgraded.
Sell the car shortly after the wash?
Look, I wouldn't say we upgraded directly as a result of that, but yes, an upgrade has ensued.
certainly related to it.
So anyway, we were talking about Marco. Yeah, what a guy. Seth, the go-to guy. Seth, I think I was commenting on the on his haircut at Jimmy Winter's 40th a couple months ago. Straight on to Marco. What a guy.
What a guy.
What a guy. It's not just a haircut, is it?
It's...
Well, that may sound
It's a social experiment.
That probably sounds bad.
It's a social experiment. Marco is married with children. Before we go on, we have a few questions from the listeners here. But before that, let's just go through the things that we mentioned on the website when we launched this show, as it were. Let's just start off with the questions that I have for you, Nick. It's very often that I phone Nick and he says he can't talk too long because he's in Angola. What exactly are you doing in Angola, Nick? Let's just back it up a little bit.
Let's back it up. Back it right
up. Were you born in the Free State?
Correct.
In what town?
The bustling metropolis of Clocolan, which obviously is going to take a few listeners completely by surprise.
Nice.
But it has put it on the map, I'm pleased to say.
Do you think you've helped put Clocolan on the map?
Well,
yes and no.
Yes and no. It's known for its a... It's otherwise known as the grain basket of the Free State.
Yes, I've heard you say that before.
A quiet little town, but I'd like to think in future it'll be known for be a hell of an intro to an autobiography, don't you think, down the line?
Certainly, something like
born from humble stocks to.
I was thinking of the title of The States by Nick Goldblatt. When did you move from the Free State?
Made the migration south mid-90s, Straight to Stellies.
Straight to Stellenbosch, which actually comes up in the next question. You mentioned that I'm the go-to guy, but from my sort of sources, which I went to before the show just to get some feedback and some info on your background, I know, but not too much. I was not around in the Stellenbosch days. Why was Nick Goldblatt the go-to guy during his days in the Stellenbosch? How did you form that? I heard that you were involved in some sort of a drip irrigation system in the One Res. How did that happen? Tell me about that.
Look, there are a lot of stories. Seth, and that's just one of the many. Myself and Clint Brains conducted a little experiment back in the day. I'm not sure Clint would be logged on to this particular show. Living in Richmond, in
what is his surname?
Brains.
No, we have another Clinton, but it's not that one. Anyway, yeah, sorry.
So as I was explaining earlier, from humble stock, farming stock, took my agricultural experience down to Stellies and got the boys going with a little vegetable patch, installed the state of the art.
We're not slightly out of your depth coming from the States into Stellenbosch. I suppose it is a slightly Afrikaans town. Quite a good sort of intro into the bright lights of Cape Town, etc. Did you spend any time in Durban?
No, not directly, not on any long-term basis, but there were certainly a few memorable trips up to Durban.
But it was very much from the Free State to Cape Town.
From the Free State into Stellies, which probably is a good intro, sleepy little student village for most of the time, but certainly a lot of fun had.
Is that not when you first became friends with our first guest on the Tour Survive show, the character formerly known as the loose forward, Bob Skinstad? Is that when you guys first became frequented?
It's actually an interesting story.
Go ahead.
When I got down there, stars in my eyes, obviously, a shy boy from the Free State, and big pods and groups of guys that had come down from Natal, obviously a big Cape Town contingent, and I was a bit of a loner, decided to try and make a name for myself, and I suggested to the loose forward on a quiet Tuesday evening that it may be a good idea to pop across to the adjoining res and relieve them of the emblem on the eighth floor of their residence, which is a big rooster.
And that started a rivalry that's still going today. Between the two reses, do you have the names?
Blood-fueled rivalry. Holzhoogte, I believe, is the name of the residence.
Is that where you were?
No, I was a Simonsberg boy myself.
Simonsberg, is that not... were you friends with another friend of ours who... He is on the tourist vibe list as the silent assassin Chuck Berry. Mark Berry, was he not in Simonsburg?
I think Berry's is a Willows boy, if I'm not mistaken.
Willows, that's it. They're the ones with the weird initiation secret vibe.
All a big secret, all
Simonsburg,
a big secret.
Did they have secret, weird vibes?
Mainly involved copious amounts of drinking, which obviously suited most of us down to the ground.
Right.
But
let's go back to the drip irrigation system. How did that? We've done the loose forward. Drip irrigation, we're leaving. Your father was a potato farmer, is that right?
That's right. That really is the link, and I'm not sure that there's too much of a story there.
Were you Afrikaans speaking at home, Nick?
English speaking.
English speaking. How does it work in the States that you got an English speaking vibe?
Interesting setup. My dad's of Jewish descent, and my mum's a local Free State lass. So not
yes, I heard you're quite tight. We're going to talk about that more after the break.
And I ain't got nothing to say. I come home in the morning, I go to bed feeling the same way. I ain't nothing but tired. Man, I'm just tired and bored with myself. Hey there, baby, I could use just a little help. You can't start a fire. You can't start a fire without a spark. This gun's for hire. Even if we're just dancing in the dark. Messages keep getting clearer. Radio's on and I'm moving around the place. I check my look in the mirror. Wanna change my clothes, my hair, my face, and I ain't getting nowhere. I'm just living in a dump like this. There's something happening somewhere. Baby, I just know you cares. You can't start a fire. You can't start a fire without a spark. This gun's for hire. Even if we're just dancing. Yes, why it's on me. I shake this world off my shoulders. Come on, baby, the laugh's on me. Stay on the streets of this town, and they'll be carving you up all right. You say you gotta stay hungry. Hey, baby, I'm just a fast starting tonight. I'm dying for some action. I'm sick of sitting around here trying to write this book. I need a little.
As a young boy, Seth Rotherham accidentally fell into a cauldron of rose-tinted lenses. From that moment on, his life was nothing short of stunning.
That's when he coined the phrase, "Life is stunning through rose-tinted glasses." At that moment, he knew he had to get the message out. Ladies and gentlemen, coming to you live from Cape Town's Atlantic seaboard, land of sex, money, fast cars, champagne, and suntans, the Two Oceans Vibe Show with your host, Seth Rotherham. Yeah, touch yourself.
Touch yourself indeed. Back in the studio at the 2000 Vibe Show, coming to you live from the Atlantic Seaboard, just off the Seapoint Promenade in front of the boat that looks like four tits. Back live with Nick Goldblatt. Welcome back, Nick.
Thank you, Seth.
Before we go on, we realize that we just keep forgetting to mention a few things. Pertinent right now would be the SMS phone number that you can send, text messages, any thoughts, questions that you might have. We have a few to run through already. The text message to send to is +27. Sorry, have you got a pen?
Get one, folks. Quickly.
Get a little pen.
Otherwise, just slot it into your cell phone. It'll be fun.
Pop it in. +27. This is international. You can send this from anywhere. We had someone live, funny enough, live phone in during Johnny Vaughan last week from Belgium. +27 76 907 3679. And if you've got Skype, we are inviting live Skype phone-ins. There's a few people there already. Our Skype name is The Two Oceans Vibe Show. Back to one of the texts that we... is that the girls leaving?
I think it could well be.
I thought they were leaving earlier.
The girls should have been gone by now.
I think that's quite enough. I hope they weren't listening in at the door. We've got a message here from a phone number. Nick Goldblatt. Who would Nick Goldblatt want round a table for a couple of laughs? Would love to know who is funnier than the big man himself. This is obviously for someone that knows you. Those who don't know Nick Goldblatt, he is certainly intriguing and certainly funny. In my top five, very easy, I have peed before learning that he would be at a function that I was heading to. Nick, who's your guy at the table for a couple of laughs?
Seth, you would obviously pick yourself. I think we've mentioned that already. It's a broad question that.
Sure.
Can we choose anyone?
Absolutely.
If we had to really push it out there, a few parallels have been drawn, I don't know why, historically, to Vince Vaughan. Well, wouldn't that be a laugh, eh? Get him around for a few pots, have a bit of fun of that. He's a funny man. Maybe get him to rope in a couple of his mates.
Throw
Will Ferrell in there. Let's laugh, let's have some fun.
How old is Will Ferrell? Because we were talking about this.
Late 30s?
Must be.
What would you guess?
I'd say 37.
His weight gives him away, doesn't it?
Certainly does.
Packs it on nicely.
Let alone his face. That's very interesting. During the break, Nick was telling me about when he first met the character formerly known as the Loose Forward, Bob Skinstad, in Stellenbosch, where Nick made his name after coming back from the Free State, the States, as he likes to call it. And you were telling me that you went round the other ends. You were in Simonsburg. And you went through to Halshoogte.
Interesting story.
The Loose Forward, obviously. Halshoogte, Beck, Flaky?
You're getting confused, well, obviously, which is...
Sorry, I didn't get it.
It's an easy mistake to make, sure. since you didn't go there.
Explain.
Let's just clarify it for the listeners out there. Halshoogte is the res adjacent to Simonsburg, big eighth-story monolith, if you like.
Looks like would you say it looks like it? Or is that the wrong one?
Yeah, wrong one.
Again.
Not really a musical instrument. A monolith wouldn't look out of place on the promenade. What's that ugly block of
like a bulwark.
London Road.
Like a bulwark.
Bulwark.
Yeah.
Anyway, be that as it may, I suggest to the Loose Forward that we venture in there.
Because you wanted to steal their...
Try and relieve them of their mascot, which is right on the eighth floor on the roof.
This has got nothing to do with a friend of ours whose nickname is Rooster.
Nothing to do with Rooster Stadler, who incidentally did go to Backflaky. Let's not confuse the issue.
Coincidence? No.
Coincidence, I think
so
not.
So you went to steal a rooster and you said that you
were
caught.
So off we go.
How did you get
here's the story. Skinstad and I flounder in and we try and pass ourselves off as lost first years.
Nice.
It's a big res. I mean, we're talking eight floors, a couple hundred
and
boys.
And you were at which res?
We had strolled across from Simonsburg.
And you went to Halshoogte.
That's it. So in we go. This is our game plan. Filter in there. No one will really know who we are. Make our way up to the 8th floor. Put a quiet shoulder into the door guarding guarding the rooster. Break it off its hinges. Throw it off the roof of the 8th floor.
Is the
to
mascot,
our waiting troops below,
is
which
the mascot,
obviously we had set up.
Is the mascot is it highly desired?
I mean, it's the holy grail for those boys. Do you know what I mean?
Our guys,
they have
our
got
guys
boys on the
after
clock.
It.
They've got boys on the clock guarding.
Really?
It.
Are they normally after?
No, it's hectic.
So it's a lot like the lion at my school at Bishop's. There was a lion. Have you heard about the lion?
Yeah. No, I've heard the stories from Buzer. It's very similar to the lion.
Founders for it.
So in we go. We get up to the 8th floor, not a problem, unchallenged. I'd like to say I put my shoulder through the door, but it was in fact the
How's the rooster looking at that stage? Frightened.
The rooster is starting to crow at this point.
Sure.
As the
classic cockadoodle do.
As the defenses are folding around it. We get through, at which point...
So the cry of the rooster has alerted a few of the local sentries.
Jaco van Wyk probably alerts the rest of the boys.
And it's got to be Jaco.
It's got to be a Jaco. I must just inform the listeners at this point in time that the 8th floor of Halswacht is exclusively reserved for ex-military boys. So, you know, for those of us that didn't get called up, and thank God for that.
Thank the good Lord.
Thank the good Lord.
Thank TBG.
thank the TBG for his small graces. But these boys weren't blessed by the TBG, and they had spent a good year or two in either the military or the navy, as the case may be. So Jaco sends up the alarm to his mates.
Screaming, shrieking.
Screaming like a banshee.
But like a fishwife.
The next thing I know, I'm enclosed in a small room with the loose forward.
How many guys?
Jaco and,
how many guys
and about 80 of his mates.
Can I just tell you a quick one there? Pause, keyword 80 guys. Classic line is we walk in there. A walk in there. 2 versus 10. Oh, very nice. Another Peroni welcomes us.
Sliding down nicely.
Sliding down. Classic line is, so there we were. 2 versus 10. Now we fucked those two punks up. Beautiful. Go back. 80 of them. Two of you. Yourself and Skinstad. Go on.
So Skinstad takes it.
Were you holding the rooster?
No, the rooster was still safely on its perch.
So you hadn't
on the roof.
So you hadn't actually grabbed it and fucking jettisoned it out the window?
No, it hadn't been jettisoned. Our troops are on the ground floor now, waiting for the demise of the rooster. So
standing by.
Waiting for the wall to come down.
Yeah.
Standing by. The clock's ticking. Tension's building. And Skinstad takes it upon himself to broker some sort of a deal with Jaco and his mates, and hits them with. Let me just paint the picture for you. There's 80 of these boys baying for blood.
Yeah.
In a small room.
Yeah.
And he says to them, "Right, boys, here's the deal. We're at the far side, the furthest point from the door." And he hits the boys with.
Where are they?
They were crowded into the room, door shut. Says to them, "Right. If we can make it to the door, you boys let us go."
How does he come up with this shit? I love it. So you guys have to get through them to the door.
Yeah. An ambitious...
All you have to do is touch a doorknob, basically.
Touch a doorknob. Touch any part of the door.
So you have to get through
any
all these guys
part
to the doorknob, which...
of the far wall, in fact, will make you a free man.
Which is behind them.
Which is behind, like, an 80 of these boys.
So you basically have to break through, like, a forward defense.
Yeah. So I'm cowering behind him, weighing in with...
Cowering.
Cowering.
Yeah.
Like a frightened schoolgirl. Mm. Weighing in with a few words, trying to steer him in his negotiation
like a frightened
process.
Schoolgirl when the stepfather arrives home drunk. Mm. Not unlike when I was lying in bed at the wedding that we went to recently, at the bachelor party, Garen Williams, when I went to bed early and Neil Mahober walked into the room. I felt a lot like a young schoolgirl when the stepfather walks in.
So you know the feeling.
I just froze. Please.
Froze up in your sack. Please cheat someone else.
Please don't hurt me, Daddy.
Please don't choose me.
Okay, so Skinstad tells him that he wants to make a little rule, which they obviously...
which they gladly accept.
Yeah.
And we didn't have a lot of time to dwell on the practical execution of our plan. But needless to say, we made it about 2.5 yards into the melee. Skinstad leading the charge, I was putting in the boot from behind. and with what effect that had.
And you were crunched.
And we got crunched, and what ensued was shoe polishing from head to toe.
Now, you guys cleaned.
I don't know how many people have experienced that, but
I experienced it.
Went in Caucasian, came out non-Caucasian, essentially.
Nice. I read you. I read
nice
you.
One, nice one.
A lot like when I just stroked the face of a barman at Yum Yum, and the bouncers of the establishment decided to lay into me. He shouted, bouncers, that guy just fucking smacked me in the face. I left with a broken rib. Did you have a broken rib or anything substantial like that?
No broken bones. Obviously, the ego...
Substantially bruised, and the rooster still safe.
The rooster safely on its perch.
Were one of them holding the rooster at one stage?
No, the rooster was firmly affixed to the structure.
Beautiful. It's 4:28. It's 30 degrees. It's Cape Town Atlantic Seaboard. We'll catch you after this. Depeche Mode.
Loving days, we're only
As a young boy, Seth Rotherham accidentally fell into a cauldron of rose-tinted lenses. From that moment on, his life was nothing short of stunning. That's when he coined the phrase, "Life is stunning through rose-tinted glasses." At that moment, he knew he had to get the message out. Ladies and gentlemen, coming to you live from Cape Town's Atlantic Seaboard, land of sex, money, fast cars, champagne, and suntans, the Two Oceans Vibe Show with your host, Seth Rotherham. Yeah, touch yourself.
Stunning, basically, is what the word is that we are referring to when we talk about the Two Oceans Vibe Show, where you are right now live, coming to you live from the Atlantic Seaboard in Cape Town, the mother city. Just looking over Signal Hill here, but that's in the background. In the foreground, I've got Nick Goldbats. Welcome back to the studio, Nick.
Exquisite. It really is exquisite to be here.
Did you take a toilet break during that song?
After these Peronis, I must admit I did.
Can't blame the guy. So before the break, we're talking about the Rooster, etc. Eddie versus 20, himself and Skinset, whatever, whatever. And then you got another missed call from Craig Lorden. How do we explain to people out there that, like, when you hit the 30s, where we are, and I don't want to ask you how deep you are into them, but I'm there, and you are there. It's text message time, isn't it? It's text message city, and it's a weekday.
It's got to be. I mean, Seth, after two missed calls, something's going on there. The boys are answering. There must be a reason.
Throw in a text.
Bang him a text.
Bang in a text. Craig Lorden phoned me earlier on. He phoned me for The Good Doctor, another 2005 character. Funny how it all happens to be 2005 characters who are doing so well. Peter Walsh comes to mind, and Woolworths. But we're not allowed to talk about them because they're not a part of the plan at the moment. Back to Craig Lorden. Phoned me, missed call, didn't leave a message. I phoned him back and he said he wanted Sean Gomes' number. It's like, that's a text message, buddy.
Lord, that is a sitting
right
text
there,
message.
Right there.
I don't know if you're asking me. Look, I don't have Sean Gomes' number.
No, look.
Lord, if you're listening, just bang me a text, buddy. I'm on air. Yeah. Just bang me a text. I'm sure I can sort it out for you.
Anyone who's friends with Craig Lorden, can you just send him a text? Let him know that Nick Goldblatt's actually on air right now. And anything that he wants should come in the form of a text message. Even if he weren't on air. It's a weekday. Guys are moving and shaking. We're 30 now. Guys are very busy. Private jets don't come cheap, guys, and neither does our time.
Let's talk about private jets for a second.
Let's go back to private jets. I took a little trip from Pet. I went to watch the wedding, the matrimony of Nikki Steven and Mike Smither in Pet on the weekend, and caught a lift on a private jet from Plate, 1 hour from Plate to Cape Town, with a few people, including Bob, the character. He's coming up a lot this show.
He certainly is getting a bit of airtime.
Almost too much. I think we're not allowed to mention his name for a good hour. Private jet's essential, Nick.
Absolutely. I mean, you said it all. 1 hour versus seven. Let's just work that out.
I'll take the one.
Toll gates.
I'll take the one.
Big trucks.
1 hour costs $200 million. Make a plan. Make a fucking plan. If there was ever an incentive to make billions, it is the chaos on the roads and the airports.
Seth, I've swanned around on a few private jets in my time, and quite frankly, the adjustment to commercial flying was a big one. It was traumatizing. I'm slowly getting back into it.
Liquids need to be inside a fucking Ziploc bag. Fucking face wash. My tea tree face wash. Thursday plantation. Has to be in a fucking Ziploc bag.
Check out, queue,
monitor
wait.
An hour each side. I mean, you fucking, are you arriving in the business class lounge and you got 20 fucking minutes to have a cheese and tomato sauce here with the crusts chopped off.
Business. Let's just get on to private jets. That's what we're working towards.
Yeah, Jesus.
It's a 3-year, 5-year plan. Let's bring it forward.
Well, where are you now, Nick? 31, 32?
Sliding into 31.
31.
31st year on this great planet.
When is your birthday?
April 7th.
And you turn 31 then?
32. 31st year, yeah.
What's your sign?
Aries.
So am I. Do you know that I'm 27 March?
Exquisite.
Fucking little high five, excuse me.
High five. There you go.
Very nice.
Coincidence?
I don't think so. Although I'll be starting to my 31st year. So we'll be the same age for exactly 2 weeks, basically. Nice.
Aries, that's really the common thread here. Which courses.
Ooh, the RAM. Nice.
Courses three.
You're talking about private jets and weird and wonderful things. There's another question that we raised when we introduced the show before. Who is this Robin Masters type individual? For those of you who don't know, Robin Masters was the person that Magnum PI worked for. For the youngsters out there, I'll explain it over a cold drink, my angel, if you want to come chat about it. But for those of you who do know about Robin Masters, or don't, whatever, he was the guy that Magnum worked for, and he never saw him. And to Nick, who is this Robin Masters type individual who insists on only you handling his affairs? There are certain sort of like mysterious keywords that I've heard about. Apparently you never know where this guy is. He's on a cruise ship the whole time. You do stuff for him involving parts of the world to do with the likes of the Isle of Man and Cyprus. What's going on? Who is this guy and what do you do for him?
Well, Seth, obviously I'm not at liberty to disclose his name. It's very confidential, and I trust that...
it's Robin Masters.
Everyone understands
it's that. It's probably Robin Masters.
But, yeah, I mean, our boy, is he's got his eye on the ball, and he's got us into weird and wonderful places like Angola. For those of you that...
Is he involved in the Angola... conference?
Look, blood diamonds is probably a big statement to make.
Nobody wants to say it.
No one wants to say it, certainly not on air. But it's a land of opportunity. If we want to fly in private jets, we've got to broaden our horizons. And that's where it's at. It's the biggest oil reserve in Africa.
Angola.
Second biggest diamond reserve.
What about Nigeria? Second to Nigeria.
Second to Nigeria in oil, the biggest diamond reserves in the world.
Let alone blood diamonds.
Let alone blood diamonds. And you've got to follow the opportunities. That's where they are.
Have you ever killed a man over a diamond?
Not over a diamond.
Beautifully handled. Very nice. That threw me a little bit. I think this is a great time to just go over to the lines right now. We just got some text lines. Firstly, some questions for Nick Goldblatt. When I saw, just as we started the show, Seth, please could you ask Nick why he sometimes uses the alias Anton Latachan, and how he became involved with a character called Johnny Pereira. He was allegedly behind the debacle that was the failed Equatorial Guinea coup a couple of years ago. Nick.
A delicate question to handle.
Let's start with Anton Latachan. Have you ever used that as an alias?
I've been forced to use that as an alias. The said gentleman was imprisoned with Johnny Pereira.
Have you met Thatcher?
In Angola in the dark days.
Have you met Thatcher?
The Scratcher. Scratcher. Look, Scratcher was in the consortium. And
were you involved at a high level or more sort of like a soldier?
Look, I was more of a undercover man. Shall we say that the prison door got mysteriously left open?
Can we say that there are people...
For the cell in which...
Can we say that there are people are banging at the studio door right now? This is quite awkward.
As the text messages come streaming in.
As it comes streaming. Speaking of text messages...
Probably Interpol.
Probably Interpol. They probably have their hands on Benji Marburger already. As we said before, please send in your messages. We have another one here. Let's just see what that is before we give the number. Hi, chaps. A quick update on the fantastic weather here in London. 10 degrees without factoring in the wind chill, 34k winds. That's like fucking Buckhoven on a bad day. Grey skies and constant drizzle. Truly exhilarating. Yours, Pete. Well, that's... Nick, I mean, it's like people in London, to me, are a lot like people in Joburg. There's a lot of this sort of... Yeah, in Joburg... That's, you will go there, you'll lose the beach and the mountain, etc., and the lifestyle and the woman, but you earn more. My argument is, why did you earn more in Cape Town? What's your answer to that? Do you agree?
Oh, wholeheartedly. I mean, I love the... Every time you go to London, the boys hit you with, look, I think I'll be back next September. And you've been hearing that for three years.
Always next September. You're stuck in a rut, guys.
And they're now married and they go, now it's we. I think we'll be back next September.
Well, we, from fucking Stanford Heath.
Yeah, fuck sakes, boys.
Give it a break, guys.
Fuck next September. Come back now.
What are you talking about? So this goes out to all the guys in London. The wind chill factor, 34 k's an hour, whatever it is. It's a mindfuck. It's not good, guys. Get over it. Sort it out. This is 2 hours of vibe show. It's 4:43 with Nick Goldblatt in the Mother City.
Saturday night, you come home. 1985, chicken with the wingman is Bush, but he's always right. We need pack a condom and need the fresh sheets, Mom. Her splits for her scripts with our sardonic eyes.
Retribution, and away we go. Something's happening.
As a young boy, Seth Rotherham accidentally fell into a cauldron of rose-tinted lenses. From that moment on, his life was nothing short of stunning. That's when he coined the phrase, "Life is stunning through rose-tinted glasses." At that moment, he knew he had to get the message out. Ladies and gentlemen, coming to you live from Cape Town's Atlantic seaboard, land of sex, money, fast cars, champagne, and suntans, the Two Oceans Vibe Show with your host, Seth Rotherham. Yeah, touch yourself.
And we're back.
Beautifully done. During the break, we took it back to the old school, and I challenged Nick Goldblatt, our guest. Welcome back, Nick.
Thank you, Seth.
Thank you very much. Challenged Nick to a little, what do you call them, shotguns.
Well, I got it badly wrong.
It's been a long time since
I'm
we had a shotgun.
I'm embarrassed to say I got it badly wrong.
Where you pierce the beer can towards the lower end of the can.
The lower abdomen.
On the side, towards the lower part of the abdomen, and you pierce a hole into it while the can is still closed, and turn it into your mouth and open the can while you're doing it. It goes on quite fast. It's something that we did in our youth. It's something I certainly haven't done for at least a decade, and I handled it quite well. Nick Goldblatt, on the other hand, completely fucked it. What went wrong there, Nick?
The angle. The angle was all wrong. In my defense, you did pierce it quite poorly, Seth.
Look,
you pierced the corporate veil.
I gave you a sizable hole to work with, but you fucked it. You were talking during the break about Robin Masters. I referred earlier to Robin Masters, a Robin Masters-like character, which I've heard Nick Goldblatt works for, a mysterious fellow who no one knows where he is, a little known Nick Goldblatt. And Nick asked me, who exactly is Robin Masters? Let me read to you from the Wikipedia. Robin Masters was a fictional character on the American television series Magnum P.I. He was the alleged celebrity author / multi-millionaire owner of Robin's Nest, which was a sign that you saw where Magnum used to drive
Magnum
in.
Used to hang out.
The estate mansion where Magnum and Higgins resided, and was the owner, Robin Masters, was the owner of the Ferrari that Magnum drove. Much like the character of Charlie in Charlie's Angels, Robin Masters remained an unseen character. But then, furthermore, slightly further down, with regards to Robin Masters and his identity, it says here, there's much speculation as to the exact identity of Robin Masters. Near the end of the series, it was implied, you'll love this, it was implied that Higgins and Robin Masters might be the same person. However, in the context of the series as a whole, numerous storylines in preceding episodes raise question to the logic supporting this idea. And this is great. If Higgins was actually the real Robin Masters, his identity was kept secret from Magnum. In the series finale, Higgins proclaims to being Robin Masters, but at the very end of the episode, he whimsically tells Magnum that he had lied about being Robin Masters, leaving viewers to wonder which version was the truth. Since the writers of the show never revealed Masters' true identity to the audience, it will most likely never actually be known. What a wonderful fable.
What a story. But, you worked that in nicely. But!
From someone who I worked with, which I told Nick about, a guy in London when I was 21 years old, and I had an office to myself at the Institute of Chartered Accountants of England and Wales. I had an office to myself. I was
ironically
because the internet and online and IT stuff was all so new.
The so-called internet.
Yeah, they took guys like me seriously. See, I just received a text from Zone, soon to be 205 character. See how well I did with Robin Masters. God, he said, because he said to me that your guy is a lot like Robin Masters.
Well, let's work in a light anecdote here for the viewers as we played out to Robbie Williams in the previous song there.
That's how we got onto Robin Masters, the whole Robbie.
That's how we got onto the whole Robin Masters vibe.
which lends itself to Michael Fitz, which we'll chat about later.
Which we'll discuss in...
Let alone Zone, who's a muser. Yeah, sorry.
Who's an enigma all onto his own.
Sure, sure.
Robin, our very own Robin Masters, was a... who will remain known only as
Robin Masters.
And coming back to Robbie Williams, when he was working his way up...
Who's this? Robbie Williams?
Robin Masters.
Robin Williams.
It's getting confusing.
Robbie Masters.
As he was working his way through the Liverpool, and that's as much as I'll say about Robin Masters, and that he spent a bit of time in Liverpool. My Robin Masters.
Liverpool,
spent a bit of time in Liverpool.
You'll never walk alone.
You'll never walk alone.
Who's your side, Nick?
I'm a gooner myself.
I'm sorry, I'm not as...
The Gunners?
The Gunners. Oh, nice. Aren't we rivals of
sorts? The Gunners, yeah. Arsenal.
They're both red, etc.
Red Devils?
I had to inherit the support that I give to Liverpool from my dad, Simon. You were saying?
So, Robin Masters of Liverpool was asked by someone... Just hold on a sec.
Is that another Peroni there, Nick?
Mm.
Nothing wrong.
Sliding down nicely.
Nothing wrong.
You
were saying, sorry.
As Dixie would say.
Nant.
The pig. Do you think that's on air? Have we had any indication from him?
I don't know. He's very sheepish.
Dixie, probably training. You think you'd have trained enough after all these years?
Jesus, have you not finished training?
Enough training for those boys, eh?
He was in Cape Town how many years ago? He was training then.
Training then for the Stormers, surely.
We phoned him earlier. He's now at Bath with our boy. His name escapes me. Good lord, Lippy? The fly half.
Butchery.
He's there with Butchery. Fuck, wouldn't it be great to get the little fucking pig and Butchery on board live on the show?
Butchery and pig.
What a fucking.
What coup. A coup. What a that coup would, de tat.
What a
that
coup
will be.
De tat that would be. You were saying, Robin Masters, your guy.
So Robin Masters got asked by a guy called Graham Souness, who'll be well known to the football
fraternity.
Fraternity out there to look after a young kid who was immensely talented in footballing circles, but was a bit of a wild child in those days. A guy by the name of Jamie Redknapp, very, very talented young kid who played many games for Liverpool, but enjoyed the sauce, enjoyed the women, and didn't concentrate too much on the footy.
Had a bit of white line fever, as it were.
White line fever. Him and Robbie Fowler, John Barnes, that sort of era. So as soon as said to Robin Masters, won't you take this boy and
Robin Masters is your guy who you don't know where he is the whole time.
Yeah, no one knows.
Who you work for, mysteriously.
Mystery. I can't tell you. You that sort of detail. Obviously. Yeah.
He said to your boy.
He said, take Redknapp into your house just for a couple of months. Just set him on his way, set him right, as only you can, as only Robin Masters can.
Yeah.
Not unlike Magnum himself. Took Jamie Redknapp into his house for a couple of months.
Yeah.
Jamie stayed for 7 years. and during that time, he spent a lot of time with Robbie Williams, who was a big mate of Jamie Redknapp's.
Yeah.
And used to collect Robin Masters' kids from school and
Robbie
that
Williams,
sort of thing.
Robbie Williams used to fetch your boys' kids from school.
With Redknapp and Fowler. And
I think it's
and
fair to say that your boy, or Robin Masters, a.k.a. guy, would lend himself to your frequency in private jets.
Yeah, that's, well, you know, understated guy.
So Robbie used to fetch his kids from school. Go on.
So just a little light anecdote there as we played out on Robbie Williams for the way that Robin Masters works. He works in mysterious ways. And a little
link. Just the kids from school. Oh, I see what you did there, Robin Masters. See how we tied it up.
Right,
there.
Boys, you can stay in my house. Don't treat this as a digs. Yes, of course you won't. Robbie Williams and Jamie Redknapp bringing birds back at all hours of the morning.
Beautiful. And let's try and tie it all in. During this break, we're going to try and get hold of Butch James and Peter Dixon in Bath and see if we can maybe get some sort of a fucking live chat going there. We'll catch you after the break. It's 5:04 at Two Oceans Vibe.
You made somebody's heart break, but now I have to let you go. I have to let you go. You left a stain on every one of my good days.
like you're making a mess. Your head on wheels in a black dress. You drove me to the fire and left me there to burn. Every little thing you do is tragic. All my life, oh, was magic. Beautiful girl, I can't breathe. I got a disease deep inside me, makes me feel uneasy, baby. I can't live without you. Tell me, what am I supposed to do about it? Keep your distance from me. Don't pay no attention to me. I got a disease, and well, I think that I'm sick. But leave me be while my world is coming down on me. You taste like honey, honey. Tell me, can I be your honey? Be strong. Keep telling myself that it won't take long till to me. I got a disease, and well, I think that I'm sick. But leave me be while my world is coming down on me. You taste like honey, honey. Tell me, can I be your honey? Be strong. Keep telling myself that it won't take long till
your arms around me, I get a fever that's so hot. Yeah.
As a young boy, Seth Rotherham accidentally fell into a cauldron of rose-tinted lenses. From that moment on, his life was nothing short of stunning. That's when he coined the phrase, "Life is stunning through rose-tinted glasses." At that moment, he knew he had to get the message out. Ladies and gentlemen, coming to you live from Cape Town's Atlantic seaboard, land of sex, money, fast cars, champagne, and suntans, the Two Oceans Vibe Show with your host, Seth Rotherham. Yeah, touch yourself.
And it's the Two Oceans Vibe Show coming to you live again on a Thursday from the Atlantic Seaboard. Welcome to the show, everybody. It's a beautiful day over here. I just loaded up the weather. We're looking at 32 degrees, and it certainly is. Welcome to the show, Nick Goldblatt.
Thank you, Seth. What an absolute pleasure to be here.
How does it feel inside?
I could feel the excitement reverberating through me. It's obviously, we've had a few goes at this and finally got into the studio, so hugely excited to be part of it.
Well, it's great to have you here. Quite a unique guest we have in the show today, Nick Goldblatt. Obviously, you're one of the Two Oceans Vibe characters, following a long list of characters, including the character formerly known as the Loose Forward, the Outside Center, the Fabric Sky, the Dude, the Surfer, and the UK Showbiz Guy, a.k.a. Johnny Vaughan, who was last week. It's a great day today. Nick and myself have just gone to Winchester Mountains for a little lunch. Can you tell us about your meal there, Nick?
Stunning choice. Both went with the salmon. Few cougars running around, which is obviously very common for the Winchester Mansions. In fact, known for its prevalence of cougars. And once again, we weren't disappointed.
You mentioned cougar earlier. Can you describe cougar and why it's called a cougar and what it is?
I think it was Dale Veron, the Saint of Verona, who first introduced me to the concept of the cougar. It was on one of his trips to Toronto, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. Commonly in the sort of 35 to 55 age group.
Packing, usually.
Often packing, but not uncommon to see them going solo, Seth.
Why exactly are they called cougars? By the way, Nick is referring to the older women who are generally packing a good set. Why do they refer to them as cougars?
Just bear with me for a second.
Oh, very nice. It would be rude not to tell you what we're drinking at the moment. We're drinking a little six-pack or two or three of Peroni Nostro Zero, Nick Goldblatt's choice. You were saying the cougar. Seth, how did that name come out?
Yeah, they are predators by nature.
Sure.
Do you run around in packs?
Single chicks, older.
Single, prey on innocent young victims.
Not too expensive to run. Generally fallen by the wayside, as it were.
Generally past their best, should we say.
Yeah, but useful for a youngster.
Useful, certainly not to be scoffed at.
Certainly not. Well, welcome to the show, Nick, and it's great to have you. We're just going to feed in this little beauty that I've been enjoying. I was at a wedding in Flet, and this was the key song at the time. Everyone enjoyed it. I know it's been going around for a while. I've been slow on the uptake. Thoroughly enjoyed it. Nick, are you a fan of the song?
Huge fan. The Chiefs, if I'm not mistaken.
The guys are Chiefs, from football to music. The guys have done well. Welcome to the show. We'll catch you after this.
Let it never be said, the romance is dead, 'cause the solar dwells occupy in my head. There is nothing I need except the function to breathe. But I'm not really fussed, doesn't matter to me. Ruby, 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 Ruby! And do you, do you, do you, do you? Know why you doing, do it to me? Ruby, 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 Ruby!
boy, Seth Rotherham accidentally fell into a cauldron of rose-tinted lenses. From that moment on, his life was nothing short of stunning. That's when he coined the phrase, "Life is stunning through rose-tinted glasses." At that moment, he knew he had to get the message out. Ladies and gentlemen, coming to you live from Cape Town's Atlantic seaboard, land of sex, money, fast cars, champagne, and suntans, the Two Oceans Vibe Show with your host, Seth Rotherham. Yeah, touch yourself.
And welcome back to the show, 3:42 Cape Town, 30 degrees centigrade. On the Atlantic seaboard here, myself and Nick Goldblatt, our guest for today. Welcome back, Nick.
Thank you, Seth.
We've just been spending time at the Winchester Mansions, obviously on the house, and so in a second we're just going to, Chris Sims is trying to involve himself. Welcome, Chris. Good. Chris Sims is currently not online. Weird.
Summer. Get it together, Summer.
Chris Sims, what you need to do is add us as a user, as a friend, or whatever. We'll add you, and then we'll take some live calls later on. While we were on the Atlantic seaboard at the Winchester Mansions in the 30-degree heat, eating our salmon at about half past one today, we had a look at that ship earlier on. Nick, you had some thoughts on that ship, which we discussed on the website. What do you say that's called, that ship?
The LPG, is it?
The LPG.
The LPG.
LPG. I can't remember exactly what it stands for. I'm just going to go back to that LPG vessel, which stands for liquefied petroleum gas stored at minus 110 centigrade. What do you think of the ship? What is the first thing that came to mind when you saw those four breasts?
Well, they certainly are very striking, those breasts. But what really struck me, Seth, is that it seems to be very close to shore for something that's stored at minus 110. And couldn't help but notice that there were a few pleasure crafts.
A little bit too close. All too close.
A little too close. A little all too close. All too close for comfort, some would say.
I got an email from one of our readers, Brett Auburn, who actually went into detail as to why it is quite a drama. Would you like me to expand on that?
Well, I think what we need to do is give the Greater Two Oceans Vibe community some insights into that.
As to why we shouldn't be happy with that kind of thing. It's amazing how they can just park that there without running it by the boys. Do you not find that a little bit...
Well, quite frankly, Seth, I mean, I live on the seaboard, as you know, and...
I'm not too happy with it.
Lord knows the fallout of some sort of an explosion.
I enjoyed Brett Auburn wrote in, and although the email turned into a 5 or 6 paragraph number, he starts off with saying, just a side note.
Quite a side note.
No, just
from
side
Brett.
Note. He says, I was quite surprised to see an LPG tanker so close to Cape Town. Did it actually come into CT Harbour? LPG tankers are seen as the most... Enjoy this. It's actually amazing. He goes, LPG tankers are seen as the next big terrorist vehicle for a soft target attack. Thank God we've got Zuma in charge, so no one, I mean, there's nothing, there's no one that doesn't like us. They have pretty detailed security precaution, but there is some concern that RPGs... Was he referring to LPG, but he's talking about RPG, rocket-propelled grenades. RPGs, amongst other things, he goes on to say, could rupture the tanks, and that, in the worst-case scenario, a blast in the 1/10 of a kiloton range could ensue. Gas in these red tanks is refrigerated at about 100... at about minus 110 degrees to keep it liquefied. If the tanks are ruptured, masses of liquefied gas would instantaneously revert to its gaseous form, which, if you also studied and passed high-grade science in matric, would cause a massive gas cloud. If there was then a secondary spark from somewhere, this would explode in the same way as a massive fuel air bomb, working in exactly the same way as a daisy cutter or... MAOB. Characteristics of this blast are a truly massive concussion or blast wave and nasty areas of induced vacuum where the bomb sucks up all the oxygen in the surrounds to feed the fireball. Fair enough. They exploded. Blah, blah, blah. Basically, I'm just not happy with that fucking vessel right there.
Basically, you've got a sitting bomb in the bay.
Yeah, right there.
So hold on. As the folks come over, over the M3... past Woodstock and get a sighting of the LPG. What they what they don't realize is that they're not looking at four breaths. They're looking at four time bombs. Is that right?
I think more to the point, four mushroom clouds.
That sounds nasty. But let's just take a step back. We are in Cape Town. I mean, RPGs aren't common.
Sure.
But a fishing vessel with a few vigilantes and a couple of sawn-off shotguns, are we okay there, would you say?
Well, I think it's more about do we sort of lend ourselves to terrorist threat? I don't think so.
Surely not, eh? Jay-Z in charge?
No, wrong with that. Do you like the way I've just fed in "Oh Yeah" in the background?
Well, let's leave it at that for now, and we'll get back to our terrorist threats, and I think we've got a few words on Jay-Z and his wedding over the weekend, which we need to discuss.
Should we use some keywords for the next section of the show? Keyword Jay-Z.
Let's bank that.
Can I also keyword Carla Brunei, who's marrying Nicolas Sarkozy, the president of France.
I can see a sliding scale there, Seth, and folks, bank that, and we're going to discuss it straight after this.
It's funny that you mentioned France, actually, given that my parents just bought a house in Provence, ladies. I'm just going to renovate. That comes with a big pool. It's green at the moment. Lots of work to be done. Lots of fun, I think.
Renovator's dream, some would say.
Yeah, look, there aren't many girls out there that realize what kind of a package I pack.
Speaking of RPGs,
yeah.
Seth packs an RPG of his own.
Yeah, a lot of perks. I think for this next one, what we're doing here is we're working with a list of songs that came from Nick Goldblatt, and they range from all sorts to all sorts. I think we're just going to go into Nickelback Rockstar, which starts immediately. I don't have to feed into any kind of vocals or anything. It starts immediately, right like this. It's 3:48. It's a beautiful day in Cape Town. We'll catch you after this one.
The world is a vampire.
It's nice.
Wrong song. Incorrect.
I'm through and standing in line. The clubs I'll never get in. It's like the bottom of the ninth, and I'm never gonna win this. Life hasn't turned out quite the way I want it to be.
Tell me what you want.
I want a brand new house on an episode of Cribs, and a bathroom I can play baseball in, and a king size tub big enough for 10 plus me.
Yeah, what you need.
Need a credit card that's got no limit, and a big black chain with a bedroom in it. Gonna join the Mile High Club at 37,000 feet.
Been done that.
I want a new tour bus full of old guitars. Find a star on Hollywood Boulevard. Somewhere between Cher and James Dean is fine for me.
So how you gonna do it?
I'm gonna trade this life for fortune and fame. I'd even cut my hair and change my name. Cause we all just wanna be big rock stars and live in hilltop houses driving 15 cars. The girls come easy and the drugs come cheap. We'll all stay skinny cause we just won't eat. And we'll hang out in the coolest bars and the VIP with the movie stars. Every good gold digger's gonna wind. Without the tassels, hire 8 bodyguards that love to beat up assholes. Sign a couple autographs so I can eat my meals for free.
I have the quesadilla.
I'm gonna dress my ass with the latest fashion. Get a front door key to the Playboy Mansion. Gonna date a centerfold that loves to blow my money for me.
So how you gonna do it?
I'm gonna trade this life for fortune and fame. I'd even cut my hair. Change my name. Cause we all just wanna be big rock stars and live in hilltop houses driving 15 cars. The girls come easy and the drugs come cheap. We'll all stay skinny cause we just won't eat. And we'll hang out in the coolest bars and the VIP with the movie stars. Every good gold digger's gonna wind up there. Every playboy bunny with the bleach blonde hair. And we'll find out in the private rooms with the ladies.
bad, so I don't get them wrong. Well, we all just wanna be big rock stars and live in hilltop houses, driving 15 cars. The girls come easy and the drugs come cheap. We'll all stay skinny cause we just won't eat. Every good gold digger's gonna wind up there. Every playboy bunny with a bleached blonde hair. And we'll hide out in the private rooms with the latest dictionary and today's who's who. They'll get you anything with that evil smile. Everybody's got a drug dealer on speed dial. Well, hey, hey, I wanna be a rock star. Hey,
as a young boy, Seth Rotherham accidentally fell into a cauldron of rose-tinted lenses. From that moment on, his life was nothing short of stunning. That's when he coined the phrase, "Life is stunning through rose-tinted glasses." At that moment, he knew he had to get the message out. Ladies and gentlemen, coming to you live from Cape Town's Atlantic seaboard, land of sex, money, fast cars, champagne, and suntans, the Two Oceans Vibe Show with your host, Seth Rotherham. Yeah, touch yourself.
And welcome back. That was Nickelback with Rockstar. Someone had an argument with me the other day that it wasn't Nickelback. They chose someone else who they obviously saw on the screen at the time during the music video, and they said it's his song. Something like, it's a Kid Rock song. Who else was in the song?
No. I've seen the video. I've seen the video, and it's pretty good. They've got a few...
quite a few peeps.
Quite a few boys in there.
We're back in the studio. It's Two Oceans Vibe Show, live from Cape Town's Atlantic Seaboard, the mother city. It's 3:54, 30 degrees. I got my shirt off. Nick's is bound to come off. He's got a long sleeve... Flags shirt, playing itself off as a Gantz shirt. It comes across well. Do you think the shirt's going to come off, Nick, or do you think you're fine?
Look, it's certainly heating up in here, so it's only a matter of time, I would guess.
It's not the temperature. We're obviously air-conditioned here. It's just the heat in the studio, just the passion, really. That's about it. Before the song by Nickelback called Rockstar, which is hot, and before that, by the way, was Ruby by the Kaiser Chiefs, who have diversified from football. Before those songs, we were talking about Zuma. Talking about sliding scales, Nick, on a sliding scale for you right now. By the way, before we get into that, I just want to mention a few things. Text messages to the show, questions, whatever else you want to do. You can send text messages to the following number. Grab a pen. Have you got it? No? It doesn't work. Get the other one? You got it. Write this down. SMS your questions or any thoughts, whatever. Pertaining to anything you want, send it to +27 76 907. It's just incredible how the page is reloading at that exact time. You're going to scroll down again, which probably allowed you enough time to get another pen. It's +27 76 907 3679. Send your questions or thoughts or anything you want to that number during the show. And Skype phone calls, we are doing live Skype phone calls later. We've already got a few people involved over here. When you're on Skype, search for the name The Two Oceans Vibe Show. You'll find us, get on board, add us as a user. We'll add to you. I just burped very slightly under my breath.
Peroni will do that to you.
Yeah. We were chatting about, under my breath...
we had banked, I'll tell you what we were talking about. We had banked Jay-Z as a keyword.
Yeah.
Now, let's just take it a step back, Seth.
Let's just back it up a little bit.
Let's just back it right up. Just to get everyone onto the same page on the whole sliding scale vibe. Very useful social tool. Just to put everyone in the picture, sliding scale, and probably best explained by way of an example, the sliding scale.
Let's have an example.
Let's just throw one out there. The sliding scale, the Mavis Francois Schnetzler sliding scale of net asset value. You know what I mean?
Sure.
So we're talking about extremes here. So I think what we're going to talk about is the Jacob Zuma, Nicolas Sarkozy sliding scale.
Yeah, as you all know,
weddings.
As you may have caught in the Sunday Times, Nick.
The Times, yeah, I think the Times covered it.
The Times, they had photos from Jacob Zuma's wedding to a not, certainly not a size zero model on the weekend or the one before, a monster of a woman Jacob Zuma married, and at the
God bless her cotton socks.
God bless them and her extra padding. Comes around the same time as the soon-to-be marriage, wedding.
Soon-to-be Mrs. Sarkozy.
Between Nicolas Sarkozy, it's right here, Sarkozy, the president, or is it prime minister?
President
of France.
President of France, Sarkozy.
Nicolas Sarkozy.
President Sarkozy.
Is about to marry Carla Bruni. I ran it past Denise Dogan, the number one realtor, the doyen of the real estate on the Atlantic seaboard. I ran it past her. Denise Dogan always has her finger on the pulse with regards to the who's who, because that's who she deals with. She deals with the likes of Nicolas Sarkozy. I phoned her and I said, I'm a little bit tired of the whole people moaning about Zuma and worrying about the end of the world, etc., etc. Let's talk about real things, like the fact that Nicolas Sarkozy's about to marry former supermodel Carla Bruni. And she said to me that Carla Bruni is finished, and Mick Jagger, in fact, tossed her aside. Be that as it may, what we're talking about is a former supermodel versus Zuma's latest trick. Who won, I mean, not to be rude or anything, but to compare it to anything, a heifer cow would come to mind on a sliding scale, Nick, just to explain to the listeners. On a sliding scale, how do you ask the question?
On a sliding scale of soon-to-be presidential wives, who do you see yourself wanting to run at first? I mean, we were talking about the LPG earlier, and certainly there are some examples of breasts out there.
Exactly.
Who would we most liken those two? Yeah. The soon-to-be Mrs. Zuma or the soon-to-be Mrs. Sarkozy?
On a sliding scale, you're talking about a heifer.
Just hold on a sec there, sir.
Oh, thank you very much. On a sliding scale, I mean, how you weigh it up is basically, like, you know, for the weight proportions. Like, you know, what a large woman Zuma took as his fifth or sixth wife. Sure, you have the size involved, but, and Carla Bruni is an ex-supermodel, but you need to weigh it up. You know, do you want someone who Mick Jagger has boned considerably and tossed aside? Mick Jagger's boned her heavily. Do you want that, or would you rather take Zuma's wife, who Mick Jagger hasn't boned, who might not be as attractive as Carla?
Fair enough, but with respect to Denise, I don't know what sort of due diligence she's done on the soon-to-be Mrs. Zuma. Yes, it may not be Mick Jagger, but Lord alone knows who's been there before him. What sort of scraps is our boy Zuma following into?
Exactly. And on that note, before we start the next song, which has got a fairly substantial intro, which we'll start to feed into right now, we have a text message that just came in while we just warm this up in the background. It's NXS Live, baby, live. And it's new sensation, which will just feed into the background. It's absolutely fine. We have a question here before we go over to Nick says, who would Nick Goldblatt want around a table for a couple of laughs? Would love to know who is funnier than the big man himself. Interesting. Nick.
Stunning. Let's consider that, and we'll come back to you straight after.
So, no, we've got loads of time here, Nick. I'll just have you know that because of the research that I've done before this show, which is the first time, we've got a good 1 minute 14 here. We've been through 34 seconds, so you're looking at a good 45 seconds of banter. Do you want to answer the question, or do you want to hold it out a little bit? Maybe hold it out a little bit.
Look, let's hold it out for a bit, but obviously, Seth, you pick yourself.
Certainly I do.
On current form, and you know, what sort of table are we looking at, Joe? We're looking at a table of 10 to 12. We're looking at an intimate table of 4. You know, we really have to expand this.
We'll get to that after the break. It's 4 o'clock on the dot, Cape Town, Atlantic Seaboard. Welcome to the 2H Survivor Show. We'll catch you after the song. And here's a quote from Carla Bruni. I don't know what all the fuss is about. There were 7,000 girls. We'll be right back.
As a young boy, Seth Rotherham accidentally fell into a cauldron of rose-tinted lenses. From that moment on, his life was nothing short of stunning. That's when he coined the phrase, "Life is stunning through rose-tinted glasses." At that moment, he knew he had to get the message out. Ladies and gentlemen, coming to you live from Cape Town's Atlantic seaboard, land of sex, money, fast cars, champagne, and suntans, the Two Oceans Vibe Show with your host, Seth Rotherham. Yeah, touch yourself.
Beautiful. That was INXS live with New Sensation. We're back in the studio. It's 4:05. It's 30 degrees still on the Atlantic seaboard. Back in the studio with Nick Goldblatt. Welcome back, Nick.
Thank you, Seth.
As you all know, all of our guests on the show are more than likely usually Two Oceans Vibe characters. And it's weird that things just seem to happen for them. And one of them, the only one who has his full name as his name, most of them are called the Roofer or the Surfer or the Dude or the Outside Center. Well, the character formerly known as the loose forward for Mr. Skinstat. They've all got names. Nick Goldblatt is the only one who has his full name. Nick, what is your experience with regards to this list and the fact that you have you are the only person with a full name? Have you had much feedback from that?
It's surprising. Well, I really do get a hell of a lot of feedback from that, and it's always nice to be unique, as you know.
Sure. Look, fair enough.
So I get hits on that all the time, in fact.
What kind of things do the guys
ask you? Some sort of genius that Seth has come up with. How come you're the only guy with your full name?
How do you usually respond to that?
I quietly withdraw into myself in a quiet corner of the bar, buy them a double cane and coke, and just explain the whole
vibe
to them. They either get it or they don't, really.
Speaking of the vibe, over lunch we were talking about the vibe and the fact that my hair, is hair a word, or is it rather hair? My hairstylist, Marco, is not on the Two Oceans Vibe list, and Nick Goldblatt also gets his locks chopped at Marco. How was your first experience with Marco the other day?
Look, I must say at this point that Seth is my go-to guy in Cape Town. If you want anything done, give Seth a call. I had a...
Jason.
Too wildly here. Had a rather unfortunate incident a couple of years ago with a small vomit in my car, not my own, I might add.
Yes, I remember that.
You recall that, sir?
I do.
It may have been a Saturday morning when I gave you a desperate shout out.
Was it not your bird, Cara Lloyd, who helped you create that mess?
My long-time girlfriend, the love of my life, Cara Lloyd, had a run-in with
a nasty spill.
Jägermeisters, a three cheese pasta, and some manner of vodka, if I remember correctly.
And I put you onto Ryan's car wash, right?
Ryan's car wash.
Sorted it right out.
Bang.
Is that the same car that you have today? No.
Bang. No, we've upgraded.
Did you sell the car shortly after the wash?
Look, I wouldn't say we upgraded directly as a result of that. But an upgrade has ensued.
Certainly related to it.
So anyway, we were talking about Marco. Yeah, what a guy. Seth, the go-to guy. Seth, I think I was commenting on the on his haircut at Jimmy Winter's 40th a couple of months ago. Straight on to Marco. What a guy.
What a guy.
It's not just a haircut, is it?
It's...
Well, that may sound
It's a
bad.
Social experiment.
That probably sounds bad.
It's a social experiment. Marco is married with children. Before we go on, we have a few questions from the listeners here. But before that, let's just go through the things that we mentioned on the website when we launched this show, as it were. Let's just start off with the questions that I have for you, Nick. It's very often that I phone Nick and he says he can't talk too long because he's in Angola. What exactly are you doing in Angola, Nick? Let's just back it up a little bit.
Let's back it up. Back it right
up. Were you born in the Free State?
Correct.
In what town?
The bustling metropolis of Clocolan, which obviously is going to take a few listeners completely by surprise.
Nice.
But it has put it on the map, I'm pleased to say.
Do you think you've helped put Clocolan on the map?
Well,
yes and no.
Yes and no. It's known for its... It's otherwise known as the grain basket of the Free State.
Yes, I've heard you say that before.
A quiet little town, but I'd like to think in future it'll be known for be a hell of an intro to an autobiography, don't you think, down the line?
Certainly, something like
born that. From humble stocks to.
I was thinking of the title of The States by Nick Goldblatt. When did you move from the Free State?
Made the migration south mid-90s, straight to Stellies.
Straight to Stellenbosch, which actually comes up in the next question. You mentioned that I'm the go-to guy, but from my sort of sources, which I went to before the show just to get some feedback and some info on your background, I know, but not too much, I was not around in the Stellenbosch days. Why was Nick Goldblatt the go-to guy during his days in the Stellenbosch? How did you form that? I heard that you were involved in some sort of a drip irrigation system in the One Res. How did that happen? Tell me about that.
Look, there are a lot of stories. Seth, and that's just one of the many. Myself and Clint Brains conducted a little experiment back in the day. I'm not sure Clint would be logged on to this particular show, living in Richmond. In
what is his surname?
Brains.
No, we have another Clinton, but it's not that one. Anyway, yeah, sorry.
So as I was explaining earlier, from humble stock, farming stock, took my agricultural experience down to Stellies and got the boys going with a little vegetable patch, installed the state-of-the-art.
We're not slightly out of your depth coming from the States into Stellenbosch. I suppose it is a slightly Afrikaans town. Quite a good sort of intro into the bright lights of Cape Town, etc. Did you spend any time in Durban?
No, not directly, not on any long-term basis, but there were certainly a few memorable trips up to Durban.
But it was very much from the Free State to Cape Town.
From the Free State into Cape Town. Into Stellies, which probably is a good intro, sleepy little student village for most of the time, but certainly a lot of fun had.
Is that not when you first became friends with our first guest on the Tourist Survive show, the character formerly known as the loose forward, Bob Skinstad? Is that when you guys first became frequented?
It's actually an interesting story.
Go ahead.
When I got down there, stars in my eyes, obviously, a shy boy from the Free State, and big pods and groups of guys that had come down from Natal. Obviously a big Cape Town contingent, and I was a bit of a loner, decided to try and make a name for myself, and I suggested to the loose forward on a quiet Tuesday evening that it may be a good idea to pop across to the adjoining res and relieve them of the emblem on the eighth floor of their residence, which is a big rooster.
And that started a rivalry that's still going today. Between the two reses, do you have the names?
Blood-fueled rivalry. Holzhoogte, I believe, is the name of the residence.
Is that where you were?
No, I was a Simonsberg boy myself.
Simonsberg, is that not... were you friends with another friend of ours who... He is on the Tourist Survive list as the silent assassin, Chuck Berry, Mark Berry. Was he not in Simonsberg?
I think Berry is a Willows boy, if I'm not mistaken.
Willows, that's it. They're the ones with the weird initiation, secret vibe.
All a big secret, all
Simonsberg,
a big secret.
Simonsberg, did they have secret, weird vibes?
Mainly involved copious amounts of drinking, which obviously suited most of us down to the ground.
Right.
But
let's go back to the drip irrigation system. How did that... we've done the loose forward... drip irrigation, we're leaving. Your father was a potato farmer, is that right?
That's right. That really is the link, and I'm not sure that there's too much of a story there.
Were you Afrikaans speaking at home, Nick?
English speaking.
English speaking. How does it work in the States that you got an English speaking vibe?
Interesting setup. My dad's of Jewish descent, and my mum's a local Free State lass. So not
yes, I heard you're quite tight. We're going to talk about that more after the break.
Can't start a fire. You can't start. voices keep getting clearer. Radio's on and I'm moving around the place. I check my look in the mirror. Wanna change my clothes, my hair, my face, and I ain't getting nowhere. I'm just living in a dump like this. There's something happening somewhere. Baby, I just know.
As a young boy, Seth Rotherham accidentally fell into a cauldron of rose-tinted lenses. From that moment on, his life was nothing short of stunning. That's when he coined the phrase, "Life is stunning through rose-tinted glasses." At that moment, he knew he had to get the message out. Ladies and gentlemen, coming to you live from Cape Town's Atlantic Seaboard, land of sex, money, fast cars, champagne, and suntans, the Two Oceans Vibe Show with your host, Seth Rotherham. Yeah, touch yourself.
Touch yourself indeed. Back in the studio at the Two Oceans Vibe Show, coming to you live from the Atlantic Seaboard, just off the Seapoint Promenade, in front of the boat that looks like four tits. Back live with Nick Goldblatt. Welcome back, Nick.
Thank you, Seth.
Before we go on, we've realized that we just keep forgetting to mention a few things. Pertinent right now would be the SMS phone number that you can send, text messages, any thoughts, questions that you might have. We have a few to run through already. The text message to send to is +27. Sorry, have you got a pen?
Get one, folks, quickly.
Get a little pen.
Otherwise, just slot it into your cell phone. It'll be fine.
Pop it in. +27. This is international. You can send this from anywhere. We had someone live, funny enough, a live phone in during Johnny Vaughan last week from Belgium. +27 76 907 3679. And if you've got Skype, we are inviting live Skype phone-ins. There's a few people there already. Our Skype name is The Two Oceans Vibe Show. Back to one of the texts that we... is that the girls leaving?
I think it could well be.
I thought they were leaving earlier.
obstacles should have been gone by now.
I think that's quite enough. I hope they weren't listening in at the door. We've got a message here from a phone number. Nick Goldblatt. Who would Nick Goldblatt want round a table for a couple of laughs? Would love to know who is funnier than the big man himself. This is obviously for someone that knows you. Those who don't know Nick Goldblatt, he is certainly intriguing and certainly funny. In my top five, very easy, I have peed before learning that he would be at a function that I was heading to. Nick, who's your guy at the table for a couple of laughs?
Seth, you would obviously pick yourself. I think we've mentioned that already. It's a broad question, that.
Sure.
Can we choose anyone?
Absolutely.
We had to really push it out there, a few parallels have been drawn, I don't know why, historically, to Vince Vaughn. But wouldn't that be a laugh, eh? Get him around for a few pots, have a bit of fun of that. He's a funny man. Maybe get him to rope in a couple of his mates.
Throw
Will Ferrell in there. Let's laugh. Let's have some fun.
How old is Will Ferrell? Because we were talking about this.
Late 30s?
Must be.
What would you guess?
I'd say 37.
His weight gives him away, doesn't it?
So certainly
he's
does.
Packed it on nasty.
Let alone his face. That's very interesting. During the break, Nick was telling me about when he first met the character formerly known as a loose forward, Bob Skinstad, in Stellenbosch, where Nick made his name after coming back from the Free State, the States, as he likes to call it. And you were telling me that you went round the other ends. You were in Simonsberg, and you went through to Halshoogte.
Interesting story.
The
loose forward, obviously.
Halshoogte, Beck, Flaky.
You're getting confused. Well, obviously, which is
it's
an easy mistake to make.
Sure.
since you didn't go there.
Explain.
Let's just clarify it for the listeners out there. Halshoogte is the res adjacent to Simonsberg, big eighth-story monolith, if you like.
Looks like what? Would you say looks like it? Was that the wrong one?
Yeah, wrong one.
Again.
Not really a musical instrument. A monolith wouldn't look out of place on the promenade. What's that ugly block of flats
like a bulwark.
Down London Road?
Like a bulwark.
Bulwark.
Yeah.
Anyway, be that as it may, I suggest to the loose forward that we venture in there.
Because you wanted to steal their...
Try and relieve them of their mascot, which is right on the eighth floor on the roof.
This has got nothing to do with a friend of ours whose nickname is Rooster.
Nothing to do with Rooster Stadler, who incidentally did go to Backflaky. Let's not confuse the issue.
Coincidence? No.
Coincidence, I think not.
So you went to steal the rooster and you said that you
were
caught.
So off we go.
How did you get caught?
Here's the story. Skinstad and I flounder in and we try and pass ourselves off as lost first years.
Nice.
It's a big res. I mean, we're talking eight floors, a couple hundred
boys. And you were at which res?
We had strolled across from Simonsberg.
And you went to Halshoogte.
That's it. So in we go. This is our game plan. Filter in there. No one will really know who we are. Make our way up to the eighth floor. Put a quiet shoulder into the door guarding guarding the rooster. Break it off its hinges. Throw it off the roof of the eighth floor our waiting troops below, obviously we had set up.
Is the mascot... Is it highly desired?
It's the holy grail for those boys. Do you know what I mean? They've got boys on the clock guarding.
Really?
It.
Are they normally after?
No, it's hectic.
It's a lot like the lion at my school at Bishop's. There was a lion. Have you heard about the lion?
Yeah. No, I've heard the stories from Boozer. It's very similar to the lion.
Founders for it.
So in we go. We get up to the eighth floor, not a problem, unchallenged. I'd like to say I put my shoulder through the door, but it was in fact the
How's sport. The rooster looking at that stage? Frightened.
The rooster is starting to crow at this point.
Sure.
At the
classic cockadoodle duel.
As the defences are folding around it. We get through, at which point...
So the cry of the rooster has alerted a few of the local sentries.
Jaco van Wyk probably alerts the rest of the boys.
And it's got to be Jaco.
It's got to be a Jaco. I must just inform the listeners at this point in time that the eighth floor of Halshoogte is exclusively reserved for ex-military boys. So, you know, for those of us that didn't get called up, and thank God for that.
Thank the good Lord.
Thank the good Lord.
Thank TBG.
thank the TBG for his small graces. But these boys weren't blessed by the TBG, and they had spent a good year or two in either the military or the navy, as the case may be. So Yaku sends up the alarm to his mates.
Screaming, shrieking.
Screaming like a banshee.
But like a fishwife.
The next thing I know, I'm enclosed in a small room with the loose forward.
How many guys?
Yaku and, how many guys and about 80 of his mates.
Can I just tell you a quick one there? Pause, keyword 80 guys. Classic line is so we walk in there. Two versus ten. Oh, very nice. Another Peroni welcomes us.
Sliding down nicely.
Sliding down. Classic line is, so there we were. Two versus ten. Yeah, we fucked those two punks up. Beautiful. Go back. 80 of them. Two of you. Yourself and Skinstad. Go on.
So Skinstad takes it.
Were you holding the rooster?
No. The rooster was still safely on its perch.
So you hadn't
on the roof.
So you hadn't actually grabbed it and fucking jettisoned it out the window.
No, it hadn't been jettisoned. Our troops are on the ground floor now, waiting for the demise of the rooster. So
standing by.
Waiting for the wall to come down.
Yeah.
Standing by. The clock's ticking. Tension's building. And Skinstad takes it upon himself to broker some sort of a deal with Yaku and his mates, and hits them with. Let me just paint the picture for you. There's 80 of these boys banging for blood.
Yeah.
In a small room.
Yeah.
And he says to them, "Right, boys, here's the deal. We're at the far side, the furthest point from the door." And he hits the boys with.
Where are they?
They're all crowded into the room, door shut. Says to them, "Right. If we can make it to the door, you boys let us go."
How does he come up with this shit? I love it. So you guys have to get through them to the door.
Yeah. An ambitious...
All you have to do is touch a doorknob, basically.
Touch a doorknob. Touch any part of the door.
So you have to get through all these guys to the doorknob, which...
Any part of the far wall, in fact.